it's the only one we've come across so far that I would be willing to make that exception for.
We're on the last article. So we're not, is it going to be something we're going to make repeated exceptions?
Want to move that?
All right, I will move, we amend the section regarding felony misdemeanors within a special subsection dealing with the crime of dealing with narcotics into the...
Can you imagine? Class B felony?
It would be a Class B felony which can be reduced to a misdemeanor.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carried.
Now I can do that. Just by referring to this numbered section in our code.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now,
you got about three more sections there in the narcotics.
Yeah. You want to give this back to George? That's his court crime stuff.
All right. The rest of it, we have tampering with drug records.
Is this forging a prescription?
Well, it's, alterations.
This covers a wide variety, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. A misdemeanor?
Oh, well, I'd say C felony. Some of them we presently are 10 years.
Alterations on account. Sign the barbershop on account of alterations and shaving in the rear.
You're undermining the misdemeanor.
He's finally flipped.
How about Class C for... now, what did we make this one? A C felony, huh?
Yeah, Class C. Tampering with drug records.
Yeah.
This is in the New York Monuments here.
No, not
here. Yeah, here.
Oh, yeah. That's what I need.
Okay, criminal use of drugs.
What would this be like?
It's a misdemeanor, isn't it, presently?
Yeah, it's in a maximum 5-year probation period, but it's a misdemeanor.
Yeah, any misdemeanor. Okay.
What do we have that thing in there for?
Criminal use of drugs?
That's a slip down.
I see, yeah.
What's a slip down?
The prosecutor can slip down.
It's like a...
Oh, yeah, okay.
One step to success.
Okay. Criminal drug promotion. This is where he frequents a place resorted to.
A misdemeanor.
Yep.
That's another slip down.
Okay. Obtaining a drug unlawfully.
Does it presently carry any felony? No.
It shouldn't. It should be an A misdemeanor too.
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe that ought to be a C. That's forging prescriptions and so on. Eh? Seems to me maybe that's presently a...
Now, there's no parallel in the Michigan code.
I think that's an indictable misdemeanor. Now,
but we don't have that volume, do we?
No, we don't have 474 here, no.
Don't you have it in your commentary under narcotics there?
Well, we've cited the section, but we don't cite what the penalty is.
Well, why don't you put whatever it is now?
What do you need for an hour in the morning?
Yeah, you can.
6 to 7. You better be on the bench in the morning, aren't you, Jim?
Yep. Oh,
well, what was supposedly make it a C felony unless I discover that it's now a misdemeanor.
All right.
Fine.
That do it? We have the end court crime.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, what about the
court crime?
What about the import cars? Now, there's two or three.
This is all getting made. I'm sticking this over on my clipboard, will you?
Model Penal Code imposes the most severe penalties by equating the penalty with the crime conspired to, equating it with the same. Conspired to a Class A felony, then your ability to also the same Class A conspiracy.
And I think we more or less made a policy decision in that direction with early.
I would suggest we go to Michigan route, which is a compromise. It's one step down all the way.
Well, in Michigan?
Crimes, yeah.
You mean conspire,
solicit, or attempt a Class A felony. It's a Class B penalty, either conspiracy, mm-hmm. attempt, or solicitation. And all the way down the route. Murder is a Class A.
Except that it's required to commit murder.
Yeah, that's a Class
First
A.
First degree murder.
New York, I think, is just too proliferated and tends to be less serious because it's got all kinds of it. It's got three or four degrees of solicitation and attempt.
I'm going to adopt the Michigan approach.
That makes sense because there's just some negotiating.
One suggestion.
I think it's
all right. What if we make bookmaking out of this thing?
Well, it was under our gambling. That was part of the gambling promoting. Yeah, that was first degree.
A felony.
There was some feeling at the commission hearing that, largely represented by Dave Frost, that solicitation ought not to be viewed as a serious crime. It is not now a crime in Oregon at all. But that doesn't mean it's not treated as a crime because it's subsumed in the law of attempt, really. That's how cases have gotten in solicitation.
You wouldn't put solicitation two degrees away.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just as serious to solicit somebody as it is to attempt.
Go shopping for a friendly murderer.
Mm-hmm. It's still tied to the crime attempted or solicited or conspired to. If you solicit murder, it ought to be treated seriously.
So.
If you solicit prostitution, it ought to be much less.
Well, if you solicited murder, it would be treated as manslaughter.
Class A felony.
Would anybody be interested in making conspiracy to bookmaking a higher crime?
How many conspiracy to bookmaking cases do we have actually made?
Well, it's your organized crime area.
Yeah. Well, of course, that was one of the areas that Sub 3 was under the dangerous offender was supposed to get.
When your NBA moves into Portland, you might get a little bit more into it.
We have a Class C now.
I think it's unrealistic to view conspiracy to a crime
as
a more serious offense than the crime itself. That's really unrealistic. It's highly criticized everywhere.
Except by the Attorney General of Oregon, just suggesting.
You know, we only have
backing off.
With that boy.
The present.
I just threw it out.
You threw it the
rest of the way.
It's to adopt the Michigan grading system for in-court crimes.
I thought we already decided that.
Yeah, we did.
I move to adjourn.
What, John?
We have met for 11 hours today.
That's a crime in itself.
And we are adjourned.
And we have only four Class A felonies.
That's wonderful. I'm not going to get along with you on a lot of this.
I'm
going to blow a whistle on you guys.
Now, that's just about my commentary to the basic articles indicated.
Well, I think for
Criminal Law Revision, May 14th, 1970.
All right.
Second.
Heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carry. Now come.
No!
There. was a correction in the minutes respecting the subcommittee meeting of Salishan, but I think they take too much time and trouble to correct them. There was not a word with respect to flaunting of one thing into another. Miscellaneous offenses. Don?
All right, Mr. Chairman.
Say, perhaps someone said, what happened to Salishan? I think that perhaps we should enlighten you. A meeting was held. The chairman of the various subcommittees, Lee Johnson and myself, and Salishan, because we felt that was the best place available in the state. But in any event, we arrived there Sunday, had a meeting Sunday afternoon and Sunday night, started at 8 o'clock Monday morning, met all day Monday night until 10 o'clock, about 10 o'clock.
10:30.
11. And that's the type of meeting we had, and when you see the minutes, you can see that they're almost as thick as this book, and they weren't deliberately padded. That's the amount of work we accomplished.
They're in your book, too, by the way.
We didn't even set foot on it. And at that meeting, we went into grading of the various offenses, classifications, which we'll do today. Don, do you want to add anything to what you're doing?
Well, I think we should mention the professor file also.
I didn't want anybody to know that.
That's why it took so long.
I think that was the 11-hour meeting we had on Monday was the longest meeting we had in the subcommittee of our commission. We did accomplish quite a bit. And those minutes are in your book. It's cleverly concealed in there someplace.
Grading and sentencing.
I recall in the minutes was something like 64 pages. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was beautiful going to have the minutes.
Mr. Chairman, do you want a motion to the effective to the amount of trying to sell a hand
if you do it in a non-returnable box, will you?
Don, tell us something about miscellaneous
offenses. All right, Mr. Chairman, we wanted to try to start off today with something fairly innocuous. These are odds and ends, and some of these, if you look on page one of this draft, this is under the first red tab in your book. The Article 33 in our proposed code. And we have some leftover statutes, frankly, that's what it boils down to basically. And where we want to put them, there are a few in here, but I think we could probably logically place them elsewhere in our code. Roger's prepared some introductory commentary about it. We have 63 statutes. Of course, we don't have them all set out. We have about four alternatives open to us. We can recommend repeal of these without comparable coverage in the code. Recommend they be transferred out of criminal statutes into some other area of the statutes, such as the court chapter. Or they're repealed by other coverage in our proposed code. Or we can pick them up if we so desire in this last article. Now, we have section 4. Section 4 in this graph, misconduct of telephone calls, could be placed in our draft on offenses against privacy and communications. Unlawful legislative lobbying, section 5. Go in our draft on obstructing government administration. Section 6, proposed adoption of a child, go on offense against the family. 7, failing to maintain a metal purchase record, go in our business and commercial fraud. lawful transportation of hay. And here again,
I've got a motion.
And then there's one section in here, concealing the birth of an infant, which the commission has approved. At our last commission meeting, the motion was made and unanimously approved that we propose incorporate a statute covering this type of offense. That is one that originally, in subcommittee, we had in our draft on offense against the family. It was taken out in the subcommittee. So that is in here. After each one of these sections, the existing statute was set out here in your draft. Show you what we have on the books now. I think I'll ask Roger to go ahead and see if wrote the draft. You can go ahead and give you the highlights of each of the sections. Discuss each of them if you want to, or however you want to go through it. Some of these, undoubtedly, I think the commission will want to either just repeal. We wanted to at least call these to the attention of the commission so we can have an opportunity to see what's there and what you need to hang out with. Okay, Roger, you want to go ahead and through the sections?
Now, on page 2, section 1, offensive literacy. Most all of these sections, there's some style and language change, but they're very, very similar to the existing section 1 is similar to 4S164440, with the exception of the subsection 3 of that statute, which was passed by the 1969, and that's just litter control provision, of which I recently read that they're having some difficulty with anyway.
Is there a complimentary section here in the day of specialization for defensive
learning? That's going on at Portland State.
I don't think so.
Chairman, I heard the other day about practice on certainly. Comes across where a citizen has dumped garbage. They go through it until they find envelopes and so on to discover the identity of the person. And then they pick it up and bring it into the courthouse. And the state judge calls in the person involved and says, "Now, we've picked up your garbage and we'd just as soon not prosecute you, so for the next 3 Saturdays, you will be out with the road crew picking up other garbage, and you will pay for the gas and oil as well. Or we can refer this to the district attorney." And he said it works marvelous.
But we have a JP who actually is part of the sentence, has him out collecting litter, and they go out.
Do they wear the armband? They wear the armband?
Yes, they wear the armband too.
Litter patrol.
This section 1 is in substance the same as what we have.
The litter patrol provision has been deleted.
That was passed in 69.
Yeah.
It was a House pass bill, wasn't it?
It passed the Senate,
didn't it? I think it passed both
houses. I just want to spread it out.
Why was that deleted? Because you understand there was some trouble enforcing it?
I understand there's some trouble enforcing it, and that the costs of enforcing it, supervising these people on this, is prohibitive.
But where did this information come from?
I read about it in the newspaper.
He's alluding to a report that was in the local papers about Marion County, why there's some question why this wasn't being used. This was a report. But
I also felt that the judge would achieve the same result if he wanted to
this is a condition of probation.
Does JP have probationary power?
Yeah.
936.
I am.
One question. If in this thing, it's going to be all right then to throw the papers and this type of thing from the car.
As long as you don't do it intentionally.
Glass cans or an article is likely to injure an animal, you can go ahead and throw anything else out of your car.
Right. Yeah, I noticed that. That's similar to the existing statute. It does prohibit throwing out articles that wouldn't be likely to injure.
Well,
no.
There is an armband thing on this.
You
gotta wear an armband.
On top of the way.
Huh? I had the session. I wonder who drafted that bill. They gotta wear an armband with an LP on it.
You know, I think that we should make it fair, whether it's in the commentary or in the statute itself, two things. One, that it's intended to cover the throwing of paper and cardboard and things out, and secondly, that one of the reasons that we don't retain the armband and that part of it, the litter patrol, that the reason that we didn't retain it is because we felt that the judge, under the powers that he has, can do this anyway. And I think that should definitely go into the commentary. And if we want to leave debris, of course some court may disagree with us, we might show in the commentary also that debris does include the items that are non-material.
511. Chapter 511.
Oh, what's the
House Bill 1414.
Covered. Subsection A.
Well, I think so. But Frank raised the question whether it did.
Who sponsored it, Dave?
Dear Engineer Gwen McCready, Senator Zakiya, Hoyt, R. O. Burns.
What? I'm a conservative.
Read
not that
bill to sponsor.
Put out the nays, 12 nays in the House of Senate, across. Here's a.
I saw him voted with Bennett during the session today.
I noticed those fellows in voted nay aren't coming back.
Bay Frost is
very
outrageous. Well, what do you want to do with it?
What about it? Do we really need subsection C? Isn't that just surplusage? Maybe possibly leave some interpretation. Subsection 1 doesn't apply to motor vehicles?
Well, subsection 3, I think, makes the operator of the vehicle liable for anything thrown out of the car he's operating, regardless of whether it's done by himself or one of his passengers.
Well,
why do you limit them to only glass and cans? There are other articles likely to injure an animal.
Well, it shouldn't hold the driver responsible if someone throws up out a gum wrapper.
Shouldn't it apply to people dumping or littering private property as well as public property?
Well, it does in subsection A.
I'm going to end up another.
Mr. Chairman,
where are you?
I don't see any reason to exclude this litter control thing.
Well, Frank, I don't either.
In some metropolitan areas, it may have some. You might have some difficulty with it, right? There's another section in the state where it can do some good.
The judge can do it.
Sure. I just think, though, that a lot of voters feel, present company excluded, a lot of judges don't use this section, and that they wish that they used it more often. I have that voice to me a lot.
Yeah.
You can't be sincerely misinterpreted by removing it. The courts might be less likely to use it now than they would be.
Well, I have not had any of these cases today, so I would be able to speak only from what I see in the papers, and that's fairly unreliable. I would say this, though, that a
If they went out early in the morning, you'd call the dog patrol.
Well, I don't think you've added anything to the discussion.
Then you'd have to put a DVD in their armband, and I'd detect that.
Well, I think the theoretical reason, of course, is that we're prescribing very unusual placements for felons. If we want to carry that to the logical conclusion, we would prescribe very unusual placements for every crime we have. Since the court does have the power and condition of probation, broad power to do almost anything, I can't see any reason for littering the statutes.
Well, I would be satisfied if the commentary shows that the repeal, that they were not retained because the judge had the powers that were granted them in ORS so and so and so and so.
I am so moved.
Second. What was the motion?
Yeah.
Senator Burns moves that we not include the litter patrol sections, and but the commentary show that the reason for not retaining them is because the courts have the power to impose the punishment that's included in those statutes. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Carried.
No.
All those in favor, raise their right hand. One, two, three, four, five. Those opposed, one, two, three. Carried.
We don't for
Chairman, we could have done it that way, couldn't we?
I can't see what the material has been started, and I think it does lead to confusion. I think one move the deletion of subsection C.
Would you repeat your explanation of that, Roger, so that certain all members understand it?
I'm moving the deletion of subsection C because on the grounds that the purpose here is to not is to include all kinds of littering, the leave subsection C could be interpreted that the only type of littering from a motor vehicle is that covered in subsection C.
That's repetitious. You weren't the one I asked to repeat his statement. Roger.
Oh, I think the question is whether or not there's a separate provision strictly for throwing a motor vehicle, and that the other sections therefore don't apply.
Mr. Chairman, that might be, but I'd recommend we rewrite it because the important difference here is the fact that the state police would catch somebody throwing some refuse, and knew it came out of the car, but the driver said, I didn't do it. The first time said, I didn't do it. The guy in the back seat said, I didn't do it. And around and you couldn't pin anybody.
And it's limited in those instances so to articles that might hurt and injure.
Maybe we ought to broaden it, and the point's well taken. Maybe we ought to include it to all. The thrust of it, as I understand it, was to make the driver responsible for what was thrown out of his car. Regardless, he threw it out. And I wouldn't want to permit that.
Why don't maybe there'll be more presumption?
Lee, you're literally discussing
the motion. I'll withdraw the motion, and I think that argument is all right. I'll withdraw the motion and move instead that the language be amended to provide that anyone permitting any discarding or depositing any rubbish, trash, garbage, debris, or other refuse.
I would think that.
Well, Lee, I wish you wouldn't make these motions so quickly. You're littering the discussion. But if we did what you suggest on this, you would hold the driver responsible for someone who throws a gum wrapper out of the car. He knows nothing about it. And under sub 3, the only reason we're holding the driver responsible is because the article that he has thrown out of the window is one that's likely to be to injure a vehicle, an animal, or a person. And I think that distinction is certainly a valid one.
Yeah. Well, all right, then somebody throws a pile of garbage out of the car, we're not going to, and we have run into this problem. Everybody says, I didn't do it.
We'll have some calories of plastic plate.
Pardon?
A week later?
I don't think that this means that type of injury. I mean, immediately.
It says, any likely to injure an animal?
Well, someone throw a pill out, it might injure an animal, too.
But it seems to me a very ridiculous standard to... this statute was written, I assume, some years ago to primarily protect animals.
No, as a matter of fact, this section was added by the last legislature to our veteran statute.
The last legislature made another mistake.
George,
I'd like my attorney general's opinion. I think it even a much more basic problem here. Anytime you start creating vicarious liability for crime, you've got to be careful. Now, if you grade this thing a violation where only a fine can be imposed, and I would object to it, but there's a chance that you may make this a very minor misdemeanor that would carry a possibility of a jail sentence with it. And I think that certainly we ought to, and I think courts are more and more inclined not to allow the imposition of a loss of liberty sanction based on vicarious criminal responsibility. And this goes way back in the old common law concepts.
That would be applicable only to subsection C.
Well, clearly the intent that you all have here is to make the driver responsible for somebody in the back seat. Well, that's vicarious liability, and if you attach it to a loss of liberty sanction, then you're imposing a mens rea crime on somebody that didn't have the mens rea for the crime.
Well, I'm not sure I'm willing to attach vicarious liability in the situation. I'll tell you simply why. I was going to the beach the other day, and my four-year-old kid rolled down the back window and threw a pop can out of the car. I didn't know it.
I know, but you should certainly be held. You,
that's right.
You should train your children up.
That's right. And that's I don't want to, if that had been in Benton County, the DA would ask for the maximum.
Train your child or go back and get the
right
bottle.
Right.
Did you do that, by the way?
No, of course not. I didn't find out about it until about 10 miles later. Some guy stopped me and he said, hey,
the fact that kids in this case, the argument to burn him, he did not in effect put
it. Even if it was a public welfare offense, that would even make it worse to attach a criminal sanction to a non-mens rea crime. But here we have, or even we don't have words of mens rea in it by intentionally permitting and so forth. Well, obviously, that's a contradiction in itself. A driver, John, didn't intentionally permit his child to throw a pop bottle out the window.
But he could. He could.
He could, yeah.
In other words, if
but you never prove, your problem is with proof, obviously, when you get the litter out on the road. And I would challenge you that you should not be imposing a criminal sanction of loss of liberty in these vicarious...
Well, let me ask, George, is it proper for us to have one subsection of a section be a violation and the remainder of it be a lowest grade misdemeanor?
Well, sure.
Why couldn't we do that?
As long as it's not connected to the vicarious liability, sure.
Well, I don't see, though, that if I'm driving to the beach and I know that everybody in the back seat has got pop cans, beer cans, or whatever, and I know that they're pulling them out, and I let them do it. It seems to me that the legislature can validly say, you are going to be punished for that conduct, knowingly permit them to litter.
Well, I wouldn't object to that.
Well, that's what,
that's what it is.
You're not going to be able to show that, I don't think.
No. And it may be very difficult to...
your
conviction, but today, or before this statute came in, when something was thrown from a car, unless they could actually see what window it came from, and there was only one person sitting on that side of the car, they couldn't do anything.
First place, the person to plead guilty.
Well, I'm suggesting you don't make this a crime, but I'm suggesting you don't attach the loss of liberty sanction. It's all in Jackson and Mason. And I'd remind you what you've done with respect to the public welfare offenses everywhere in the statutes outside your code. If you'll recall back in your basic provisions, you have made them automatically violations unless the statute somewhere specifically has within it a mens rea element. And you did that, if you'll recall, to avoid this very problem of attaching a jail sentence to a what is essentially a public welfare offense.
You've got a bunch of kids in a car and they're tossing
dogs.
All over the place. I don't think anyone calls instead of a vote for a day or two.
Well, that's what the legislature felt at the last session.
Well, we're requiring a mens rea element. It's George, in fact, the highest one we got intentionally.
Yeah, but you know, as I understand you,
No, I didn't.
You'd have to prove he intentionally crossed the line. Like you say, it's a question of proof, and the prosecution would still have to prove that he intentionally permitted this, and that it would just wasn't an oversight or something. I mean, this we're requiring mens rea.
All right, that's fine, but I misunderstood what everybody else understood about it.
Is there a motion for adoption?
Well, I did make a motion. I'll change it just to say strike the word article likely to injure an animal and just say debris.
You all understand the motion? Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. No.
No.
Carried.
Move the adoption section.
Well, wait a minute, Mr. Chairman.
Does the section now read permitting any glass, cans, or other debris?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do we not run into the customary rule of construction?
Mm-hmm.
Which is called Aestem generis or
Aestem
something
generis.
Like that. And it means that you're not accomplishing anything by that. It means glass cans or other glass or other cans, is what that would mean.
Johnson moves to reconsider the vote by which his motion passed.
God damn it, Tony, you don't like my motion.
I said you're littering.
You're having a rough time.
<Don't you? laughs>
I would move we strike. Why don't we move this way? Strike.
Permitting any
the word. Everything after permitting to the word animal and insert there the words rubbish, trash, garbage, debris, or other refuse.
And we can just incorporate sub A.
Permitting offensive littering. Why don't you say permitting offensive littering from a vehicle?
By intention.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Which he is
by intentionally permitting offensive littering.
As the fine subject.
Well, the thrust of the motion, as I understand it, would be equate A and C as far as the activity forbidden. One
that's
is
right.
Imminent and the other is permitted, right?
Mm-hmm. From a vehicle.
I move that we have the staff incorporate that into this section. Second. Question?
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried. Now that amends the motion of yours that just carried, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would move motion
after this passed.
I move the adoption of the section as amended.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask the chair if you want to discuss the grading of these sections as we go through them, or do you want to come back to it after we've considered the overall grading classification? I've put some tentative classifications on these crimes.
It might be better to take them as we go along.
Well, could we have the subcommittees go to Salishan again?
I tentatively graded this.
Class C subject.
Well, that's what I had put for it, is tentatively, Class C misdemeanor.
The rest of them understand what a Class C misdemeanor is?
Maximum 30 days.
Maximum 30 days, or the fine would specify for a Class C misdemeanor.
250, isn't it?
Yes, 250.
Good show.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
All in favor of making this a Class C misdemeanor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Section 2 on page 4 is a consolidation of two existing statutes, which are noted at the bottom of the page. We created a new title, Unlawful Stream Pollution. Subsection 1 represents 164.470. Subsection 2 represents 164.820.
Chairman,
I would move to delete section 2. I don't need any
covered in chapter 449. It's a misdemeanor. You can probably find some misdemeanors.
Did you say sub 2 or section 2?
Section.
Covered in 449?
Yeah, those sections. Section is a waste. Defined in the broadest possible terms is deposited into a stream. It's water pollution. Any pollution that is done with without a permit is a misdemeanor.
Everybody understand the motion?
Let's make sure. Sure.
449. We don't doubt it. We're not doing it that way. But.
Well, I would say that if we're looking at the 449 system, bringing a house division chapter that I think won't tend to cover any kind of water pollution.
Well, Roger, you just redid these two existing statutes, right?
Yeah, I looked at 449.
You think there's any compelling?
I felt that subsection 2 probably is covered by 449, but I don't know about subsection 1.
The way it's worded, Roger, does subsection 1 relate only to agricultural purposes?
It isn't intended to, no.
It says cuts timber or slashings or digs holes or cut stumps for the object being agricultural purposes for all the time.
Oh, I think it does. I think that's a limitation on it, frankly.
Yeah,
I think that's what's in
the
existing statute.
Oh, it's intended to be limited.
I think, yes.
No. Is this subsection 1 sponsored by Representative Dietering, too?
You're right.
No, this would be back in 1957 when it was amended. So what this statute is intended for is when they're clearing land and stuff, leaving it near a stream
right.
bank so that during flood water it goes down. But I think it covers both logging and agriculture.
Right.
Well, would you like to hear, now, under chapter 449, the definition of pollution is under 449.075 sub 8. Pollution means such alteration of the physical, chemical, or biological properties of any waters of this state, including change in temperature, taste, color, turbidity, silt or odor of the waters, or such discharge of any liquid, gaseous, solid, radioactive, or other substance into any waters of this state, which will or tends to, either by itself or in connection with any other substance, create a public nuisance, or which will or tends to render such waters harmful, detrimental, or injurious to public health, safety, or welfare, or to domestic, commercial, industrial, agricultural, recreational, or other legitimate beneficial uses, or to livestock, wildlife, fish, or other aquatic life or the habitat thereof. And then 449.095, pollution of any of the waters of this state is declared to be not a reasonable or natural use of such waters and contrary to public policy of the state of Oregon.
That wouldn't cover one then, but because on one you're not putting them in the stream, in the adjacent to the stream.
Yeah, but if you leave the slash stack right by the river bank where you know that during flood water it's going to go into the stream, it'd be the same as somebody allowing their sewage to seep out onto the land at 100 yards from the river where they know that it's going to seep down into the river.
Well, is there a 990 section?
Yes. It's a misdemeanor. And punishable as provided
by law.
I'm not sure what the upper limits of the punishment are tonight.
What's your
it is a misdemeanor.
What
yeah.
you're saying, Lee, is we ought to.
Well, also that it's a matter of. I mean, it's a matter that's. subject to administrative control, and this seems to me it should be part of chapter 449. I can't see what you should be separate from the criminal.
It seems to me that the compelling necessity in a situation like this is to abate the nuisance or whatever it is. The objective would be to alleviate the situation as quickly as possible, and that perhaps by prosecuting somebody criminally, you don't achieve the goal that you want to.
I think under 449 that you can do either. That you have abatement authority.
You have abatement authority. Facing with a situation that's serious, it's going to be subject to administrative action.
Somebody second your motion.
No, we're still discussing it. You want to second? Okay, motion's been made and seconded that we delete, that notwithstanding E-Day, we delete section 2. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
All right, the motion's carried and the establishment wins again. Section 3. Now this is a good section.
Reading ahead. Subsection 1. Restate ORS 166/560. Subsection 2 is new, and it comes from Michigan and the New York statute.
Yeah, you get down there, and it's pretty. I'm gonna
grab it. Are there any questions about Section 3? Moving and seconded that we adopt Section 3.
I tentatively graded that in Class B misdemeanor. The maximum would be 6 months.
Are we going to go through the grading after we pass it?
I thought we were going to go through them each one.
All right, well then, you ready to vote on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried. Let's consider then the question of grading. Don proposed to grade it a Class B misdemeanor. Is there any objection to that? Judge Thurn?
6 months.
Moved and seconded that this be graded a Class B misdemeanor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried. Section 4.
Misconduct of emergency telephone calls. This restates ORS 166/710.
Exactly.
Yes, the substance is the same. Failing to relinquish a party line or a telephone line for emergency telephone call.
Chairman, I move we adopt Section 4 and classify it as a Class B misdemeanor.
It's been moved and seconded that we adopt this and classify it Class
4
B misdemeanor.
Do you want to, Mr. Chair?
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried.
And now, do you want to keep it in this article, or do you think we could move it over and put it under our communications article?
Well, where's the one tampering with the PAYCO? Ralph Lemon statute. Do we keep it?
Well, that's under criminal mischief or under unlawful use of slugs, or depending on what they're doing in connection with the telephone. It could be theft of services.
We have repealed the specific statute that was passed in 67 for the coin telephone fees, right? We did pass the statute. I thought we were going to pick it up under miscellaneous.
We don't have a coin thieves
164-635, Roger. Tampering with the coin.
Well, that's covered, John, under our criminal mischief.
Yeah, I guess.
Criminal mischief section.
Okay.
If they just tamper with it, if they do other things, if they try to get the service of the telephone by fraud, then it would be theft of services. If they use a slug in it, it could be unlawful use of slugs.
All right. Well, what do you think? I think we could just, it doesn't matter to me. What's the way should it be? Do you want to leave it in miscellaneous or put it in with offenses against communications?
I'm going to put it in offenses against communications.
Second. All right. Is there no objection?
Why?
So ordered. Okay. Now, we will now proceed with dispatch to section 5. Unlawful legislative lobbying.
Yes.
Have you ever prosecuted anybody under that, right?
We, the legislature, doesn't meet them.
Boy, state does, though.
And they? Yes.
I've
never had any complaints.
Well, is this part of the conflict of interest or the thing that we've thrown around and code of ethics or whatever?
I don't think so, Mr. Chairman. I think this is a different issue involved in this. We're not talking about legislators or public officials. We're talking about the lobbyists.
I would be about it.
Second?
You can sure tell who's not running for election.
Now, here's another one that we could put in a different article. This could go under our Article 24, Obstructing Government Administration.
How about all the letters you get? People who are opposed to some measure. Are they supposed to write in their personal interest, isn't it?
I'm going to support passage of this and Xerox 100,000 copies of this statute and respond to these people.
Yeah, right.
Well, this is present law.
What's the wish of the commission?
Mr. Chairman, I move we adopt it, transfer it to the article mentioned, and make it a Class B misdemeanor.
Is there a second?
Second.
You've heard the motion.
Class B.
All in favor, say aye, and those opposed, no.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Passed. Section 6.
Promoting the adoption of a child. 3 states ORS 167 645.
How many prosecutions have there been under this?
Say, how many times
have
there been?
Well,
we've
passed a lot of good law here.
Some more coming.
If you think this is nothing, the Oregon Committee on the Right to Bear Arms and Defend Yourself called me the other night. They're coming down tomorrow to screen candidates for the primary.
For the
screen them.
They're interested in firearms.
I suppose that it isn't appropriate to be against this. Chairman, I move we adopt Section 6 and make it a violation.
Okay. Do you want to put it in here or in the business against the family? I guess here. Let me ask this.
Have a talk.
Let me ask this question. There are child caring agencies that are licensed by the State Public Welfare Commission that for adoption purposes. Is this statute supposed to limit adoption services only to those duly licensed agencies and make it a crime for anybody else trying to get into business?
No.
It's just trying to advertise.
This is just to prevent advertising on adoption. It seems to me that it would probably just as well be in the statutes on adoption. Where you say that nobody, none of these agencies or no other person shall advertise it in the paper about that they have a child for adoption. Or that.
Well, what's the crime about that? I'm naive.
Yeah, I.
Show me what. Tell
like
me
now, you know, they have, they just put in the paper, you know, the person will call any girl that's in trouble, you know, contact the. Christy your home or something, rather than just saying, you know, we'll take any child for adoption.
Well, I don't know. My guess would be that the evil legislature's trying to get at would be the indiscriminate contacting of individuals through advertising before persons adopting a child. This is just guess, but I mean, it seems to me that's what they're trying to do, and is to keep things in the proper controlled channels.
I was wondering, too, if this wasn't passed before the requirements of having an investigation with the State Board of Welfare Commission, which
it probably was.
Is a way now that they do control some Oregon's gray framework.
Well, did you endeavor to find out if there's any people interested in the area that are pushing for this?
I know of no one that's...
This is an old statute, John.
1935.
Yeah. Have there been any cases in here?
Of course, your lawyers are covered otherwise. Standpoint. Bar F.
I'll move to prevent this as far as lawyers.
I'll move to delete it.
You move to? I
move to delete the section of the past 2 weeks passed.
Well, you had a motion to pass it, didn't you?
If he wants to move to delete it, I'll withdraw it.
Any further discussion? What do you think, George?
Well, I was telling Dave, 1935, this law was passed. It sounds like it was a depths of a depression on law against the selling of children. And if we ever have another depression, it might come again.
We have six that are ready.
Did you say if?
We're so tempted to advertise ourselves to get somebody to adopt our children.
Well, you couldn't advertise a child, but you could have a garage sale or something.
It might be a good thing to advertise one sometimes.
Mr. Chairman, I call for the question on the Attorney General's motion.
The Attorney General has moved, Mr. Chairman.
I'll have to repeat that.
That Section 6 be deleted. I want the AP and the UPI to pick this up.
The Attorney General is endorsing the concept of advertising the children for adoption.
And he hasn't yet got a second, Mr. Chairman.
I'll second it.
All right. The question's been called for. All in favor of Mr. Johnson's motion, say aye as your names are called. Those opposed, no.
Judge Burns?
No.
Senator Green?
No.
Carson? Frost?
No.
Huh?
No.
Jernstedt?
Aye.
Johnson?
Knight? Aye.
I didn't hear the discussion.
I'll change my vote to aye.
How many votes you got, man?
We have four no and three again.
I'll change my vote.
What do you change your vote to?
Aye.
I'll vote aye, even if I didn't hear the discussion. Carry it. Section 7.
Section 7. Failing to maintain a metal purchase record.
Roosevelt Johnson statute, isn't it? What's his name? Copper wire thing?
Restatement 4S 164385.
What's the purpose of this statute?
This is a copper wire fee statute that was passed in 67.
And it does work. It really is very helpful.
Yeah.
City of Portland has even a more detailed requirement than this. This was originally allowed by the City of Portland.
Right.
I don't
know if it passed it.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adopt Section 7 and make it a Class B.
Class B or
Class A?
Question.
Maybe we should divide it.
Yeah. I move we adopt the section.
I second the motion.
All right. Any discussion?
Question.
Call roll.
Judge Burns?
Aye.
Sandra Burns?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Collins?
Aye.
Bernstein.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Knight.
Aye.
Chairman.
Aye. Now the...
I move we make Section 7 a Class B misdemeanor. Do you want it here, Don, or somewhere else?
No, I think, no, we put it right in here. Oh, you mean as far as the sanction? Yeah, I think we just about have to...
If we leave it in miscellaneous...
Well, we can put it under business and commercial offenses.
We can do that.
All right. So we move it to business and commercial offenses and make it Class B misdemeanor.
Are we gonna get ourselves in a position of moving everything out of miscellaneous and having only one or two left?
Well, it's possible, but we recognize that.
Well, the only observation...
I think the fewer miscellaneous we have, the better.
Yeah, I should push it.
What are the limits, Class B, again?
6 months.
And what fine?
I think we ought to make it Class A, Mr. Manager.
I do too, because this is the copper wire deep that you can't prove where the wire came from.
These are the professional...